Well, good morning. Certainly good to see you all and to have opportunity again to be able to share a little bit with you from God's word. I know this, that every week, usually a couple of times a week, I pray for you all. Many of you I pray by name. Many of you I pray by face, because I don't remember your name sometimes, but I remember your face. And so sometimes I'll be praying in the Lord, you know that one with that face. Pray that you would encourage and strengthen them. So if you think about it, tell me your name so that as I pray throughout the week that I can remember you. Turn with me, please, to Matthew's gospel. Doug primed the pump a little bit this morning, which was great. I was reading and contemplating the baptism of our Lord Jesus, and we read those verses, which are going to be the central portion of our look this morning in Matthew's gospel. So turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to read the very same verses that Doug read at breaking of bread this morning. And it says this at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus is fitting for all us to fulfill unrighteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's pause for a moment of prayer again. Father, we are so very thankful this morning for your word. We're thankful for the things that you teach us concerning thyself. We're thankful for the things that we have learned of you through your precious word. And Father, we want to commit ourselves to thee again this morning, that your Spirit might move in our hearts and lives, that you would teach us the things that you would have us to learn. We do want to remember to pray again for Erna's mom this morning, right now, even under the knife, going through surgery. We know you are guiding the physician's hands, the surgeon's hands. We pray that you would bless and strengthen her. And for Jeff, as his neck is healing and still needs some time, we pray that you would bless and encourage him. And for Tim, who is with us this morning, for the ministry that you have opened up to him here, to be able to share the gospel, Father, and we just pray that you'd continue to bless and bring fruit as a result of that. And so, Father, we commit our time now into thy care. We ask for your blessing and encouragement in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I began to ponder these verses, mainly because it was drawing me to the servant songs of Isaiah. I read these verses again, and through the reading of these verses, I was drawn again to the servant psalms that you find in the book of Isaiah. And we'll get to there in just a minute. But let's look at the text in which we have just read. There's much for us to learn right here in this text, but we will be moving from this text and going on to the servant psalms and going into the psalms as well, as this text leads us to do. Now, the Lord says he hears this voice from heaven, and the Spirit of God has descended upon the Lord Jesus. And this voice comes from heaven saying, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But what does it say here? In Matthew's gospel, it says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. When you go over to Mark's gospel and you go over to Luke's gospel, you will find it's different. You will find it said there where the Lord says, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. It takes on a different focus. And the focus we find because of the words that were spoken, the focus we find comes out of Psalm 2. It comes out of Isaiah 42, which is going to be where it leads us this morning. But he says, this is my beloved Son. Now, who is he speaking those words to? as he comes out from the water, having just been baptized, and he immediately is coming out from the water, and it says the skies opened, as it were, and the Spirit of the Lord descended like a dove and rested on him. Of course, we have that little word like, and in the other ones we have the word as, so it's a simile giving us it's something like a dove that rested on him, something that came down that was visible to those, so to some, and it alighted on him. And you remember the very next chapter, what happens? The very next chapter in Matthew tells us that Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tested. And what was the testing that came? The testing that came was what had been declared at the baptism. God the Father has declared to the people around and to you that you are the Son of God. And the temptation is, if you are the Son of God, if indeed you are what God the Father claimed and proclaimed you to be, then prove it. Prove it. Take these stones and make them into bread. Prove it. Cast yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple. Because these words, thou art my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, are prophetic words pointing to the one who is the Messiah, who is the Christ. And so when God makes this statement, he makes it to the son in Luke, and he makes it to the son in Matthew. He said, you are my beloved son. And he declares to the Lord Jesus that you are the promised Messiah. You are the anointed one. You are the Christ. And he affirms that to him. Not that the Lord Jesus needed affirming. He knew who he was. He knew who he was. But you know who you are too, don't you? You know who you are in Christ Jesus. But isn't it wonderful from time to time when it's affirmed to you through the word? And the Father's voice speaks to his begotten son, his only begotten son, and says, you are the promised Messiah. You are my beloved son. Isn't that an interesting phrase? We'll see this over and over. Beloved son. Beloved is an adjective, isn't it? Describing the son. The son is the one who is loved. He is a loved son. He is one who is loved by the Father. And I suppose begs the question, is he loved by us? Is he the beloved Son that you love, that the Lord declares? You see, that was a problem in the church of Ephesus, wasn't it? It became a problem in the church of Ephesus. The church of Ephesus was well established. It had been taught well by the Apostle Paul. For almost 3 years, the Apostle Paul was there teaching them. And they learned all the doctrine. They knew all the doctrine. And they had the works. They were doing.